This is the Black and Blue Report, presented by ABC Insurance Agencies. A better choice for insurance. Now, from Studio B, or wherever the Saints and Pelicans might be, here's Brianna Nowlan and Cassie Calvert.
Welcome to this Wednesday edition of the Black and Blue Report. I'm Cassie Calvert, filling in for Sean Kelly today as he is enjoying New York City with the Pelicans. Here from Studio B, we're going to have David Wesley on today, of course, for Wesley Wednesday. He's going to talk to us about that odd Knicks game Monday night that contained two ejections. We're missing Derrick Rose for the Knicks, so we'll talk to David about that. Pelicans obviously came out of that with the win, now at 15-24, and will play Brooklyn Thursday in Brooklyn at 6:30 on Fox Sports New Orleans. Nets are at 8-29 with the worst record in the league, so should be an interesting game on Thursday. We'll hear David's thoughts on that with the Pelicans now 1.5 games out of 8th in the West. Kings and Portland both picking up wins last night, though, so that's not great for the Pelicans as far as heading into that 8th spot. Rockets picked up their 9th consecutive win last night with James Harden in his back-to-back triple-double performance. 40 points, 15 rebounds, and 10 assists for Harden, having just an incredible year, obviously making his case for MVP. Big upset last night as well. Bucks beat the Spurs in San Antonio. Final score 109-107. So that's a big game for that young Bucks team looking to kind of make their mark in the NBA this season. Also going to hear from T-Bob Hebert this morning. He's going to talk to us about that 35-31 Clemson win Monday night that some of you guys may have caught. Big upset there for Clemson. So he's going to give us his thoughts, talk a little bit about Coach O and LSU's upcoming season. So stick around.
Win the night for the entire family with a Pierre's Party Pack. Ticket packages are available for select Pelicans home games throughout the season and include three or more tickets, combo meals, and an encore free throw experience with Pierre the Pelican, all for as low as $48. The next Pierre's Party Pack night is Friday, January 20th against the Brooklyn Nets. For more information and to plan your next winning night out with the gang, visit Pelicans.com today.
We all know Saints fans are humble, hardworking, likable, and the most devoted fans in the league. All of that takes energy. The energy you get from a warm bowl of Campbell's Chunky Soup. Its meaty goodness fuels the greatness of Saints fans everywhere. Try the delicious Chunky Chicken and Sausage Gumbo. Just visit your local supermarket and ask for Campbell's Chunky Soup, the hearty way to fuel your game, and the official soup of the New Orleans Saints.
It's the moment you've all been waiting for. It's Wesley Wednesday on the Black and Blue Report.
Welcome back to the Black and Blue Report. I'm on with David Wesley, a man that needs no introduction to Pelicans fans. David, a lot of weird things happened in that Monday night game at Madison Square Garden, so we've got a lot to discuss today. First, I think Pelicans fans are a little confused when they didn't see Derrick Rose on the court. As a former player, what would your reaction have been if you were his teammate?
Well, first of all, you hope he's okay. Mm-hmm. If he hasn't called or no one knows where he is, you're thinking your mind may move to the worst, which could be something happened to him, a car accident or something happened at home. When you find out he's fine, it almost makes you say, glad you're fine, but now I'm even more upset that you couldn't make a phone call and say, I won't be there because of whatever reason. Because he didn't do that, I'm assuming that this had something, you know, I'm starting to see rumors and stuff. And, you know, hopefully it wasn't some dispute with the coach that he just didn't show up for his teammates, because that doesn't fly. I would be pretty upset at this point because I don't know that there's a reason or I don't know what the reason could be that you would miss a game, but he didn't show up. They needed him, and consequently, they got blown out.
So Carmelo Anthony and Kylo Quinn also got ejected during the game. Anthony picked up his consecutive technical fouls in the third quarter, earned his ejection, and O'Quinn got that flagrant 2 called after hitting AD, which caused AD to exit the game. What did you see there?
I didn't think it was a flagrant 2. I thought it was two big guys running down. Tallo Quinn was playing from behind. He makes a stab at a, you know, at a foul. I didn't see any extra push. It did turn out looking really bad, but watching it in fast motion and watching it in the replay, I didn't think it was a flagrant foul by no means, but I'm used to that just being a common foul, but I guess they looked at it too and saw something I didn't. And then of course, Carmelo Anthony, his ejection I thought was just silly. I thought he just quit on his teammates, which could answer the question why this team is such a mess. It just very inconsistent. They've been down at least 15 in their last seven games. That team should not be getting blown out every night. They end up winning one of them where they were down. They come all the way back, and then of course they were up in one and end up losing. So very big head scratcher when it comes to the Knicks.
That Monday night win was the first in New York for the Pelicans since December of 2013. AD obviously had an incredible game, 40 points, 18 rebounds, and 30 minutes. How is he able to be so efficient, and how are the Pelicans able to get him those good looks this game?
Well, I thought the Pelicans' ball movement was good. I thought their defense was really good. It allowed them to get out and run in transition. And then the bottom line, Anthony Davis is special. I think we all know that by now. He just has a way. He had his mid-range jumper going, and that just opens up his total game. I would have doubled him, made him pass the ball out, made somebody else beat me, but they seem to play him mostly one-on-one. He scored over the top, went by people, got to the free throw line, just played a really excellent game. And to think that that's the first time anybody's had 40 and 15 in three quarters ever. That's pretty amazing. But he's special, and we're going to continue to see things that not many people have done because he just has that ability. Any night he can surprise you with who knows.
He's certainly special. He's the first opposing player to score 40 points at MSG this season. But he did exit with that hip injury. Will practice today and tomorrow be important to see if he'll be able to play Thursday night?
Well, you know, I don't know that practice. I mean, he may do some shooting, but mostly it's going to be rehab. Mm-hmm. A lot of rehab, a lot of ice stim to get him to where he feels like he can go. He was walking with a pretty significant limp afterwards. So I'm sure that's of some concern, but hopefully it's not too bad. He didn't mention when I was standing with him that it was too bad. And of course he thinks he'll be able to play, but we'll see how today and tomorrow goes, and hopefully he'll be out there.
So they will face the Nets tomorrow night in Brooklyn. The Nets played the Hawks last night. The Nets are now at 8-29, which is the worst record in the league. They lost to the Hawks 117-97. What's been the story with the Nets this season?
Maybe lack of talent. You know, this is the one team that I'm not as familiar with. A team that, and they're 1-12. They're 1-12 in their last 13, losing seven in a row. It's kind of hard to say a team like this, but you know, there's been many trade rumors, and maybe they're tanking because it seems like they have some talent, but again, it's not coming together. I think their coach is doing the best he can, but this league is weird. The league that, you know, a lot of young guys playing important roles and maybe not ready to do it. and this team is just, you know, hasn't found a groove at all. They don't really have a star player. Don't seem to have very much chemistry. Therefore, I guess they're struggling, and they'll probably struggle for the rest of the season. Probably get a good lottery pick, or try to anyway.
So the Nets are averaging 17.3 turnovers per game, which is the worst in the league. But the Pelicans have been good at not turning the ball over, but when they were playing the Hawks, who are also pretty high in that turnover margin, they did turn the ball over a lot. Do you worry that the Pelicans will kind of revert to that again against a team like the Nets that do turn the ball over a lot?
Well, I'm waiting for the Pelicans to find a groove, get into a nice little rhythm where they run off 3, 4, 5 games, maybe lose one, then run off 3 or 4 or 5 more. They have to get into one of those kind of stretches. I was hoping kind of before the All-Star break where they get a nice little win streak, close that gap on the 8th spot, and then the second half just kind of hit the ground running. So hopefully not. The consistency for them right now has to be offensively. Defense has been good most nights and really solid, you know, other nights, but offense has been the head scratcher with the ability to shoot just about any shot, ball movement, quick movement, running the floor. The offense seems like it wouldn't be a problem at all, but, you know, and maybe Anthony Davis figured out that he has to come out and be dominant, and his teammates will follow. I like the way he played against the Knicks. Hopefully he'll come out Thursday and start the same way with that kind of energy and effort on both ends of the floor, and they'll find a way to get a win.
How do you think that Demo will kind of fit into that, trying to move the ball more offensively? And will he get more minutes Thursday?
Go ahead.
Sorry, and do you think he'll see more minutes Thursday in Brooklyn?
I think his minutes are going to continue to grow. I think he seems to be a really good fit. It looks like the guys like to play with him. He's not a ball holder. He moves the ball. He makes quick decisions. He makes the right decisions. And this is all with not knowing a ton of what the offense is. So the more he can figure out the offense and the more he can figure out where he's supposed to be and what his teammates like, he can continue to help this offense. He rebounds the basketball. He has good energy. Right now it seems like he has pretty good win for not playing, I guess it was 8 months. So I think he's going to help this team a lot, and I see his minutes continuing to grow, especially since Ashik and Ajinta haven't seen the floor in 8 games.
He'll certainly be a player to look for this Thursday night. Again, David Wesley and Joel Myers will have the call for you on Fox Sports New Orleans tomorrow night at 6:30. Thanks for your time this morning, David. Really appreciate it.
Thank you. I enjoyed it.
Hey, New Orleans. The world's biggest party just got even bigger because NBA All-Star 2017 is coming to the Big Easy. You know about the big game on Sunday, but there's a whole weekend of fun. Starting Friday night, come check out the BBVA Compass Rising Stars Challenge and the Celebrity Game. Then the D-League All-Star Game on Saturday. Even watch the best athletes in the world get ready at All-Star Practice. Tickets start at just $10. Don't miss out. Visit NBATickets.com now.
Are you ready for a new challenge? Set your goal and go for it with the Smoothie King Change a Meal Challenge. Just change one meal a day with over 20 delicious meal replacement smoothies, all under 400 calories per 20-ounce cup, and sip your way to your goal weight. With flavors like pineapple mango, strawberry blueberry, dark chocolate banana, and more, it's easier than ever to reach for your goal. Take the Change a Meal Challenge, only at Smoothie King. Smoothies with a purpose. Take the challenge as part of a low-calorie diet and daily exercise program. Weight loss depends on individual needs.
Hi, it's Mark Romig. When I'm not announcing Touchdown Saints, I'm listening to the Black and Blue Report.
Well, Welcome back to the Black and Blue Report. I'm joined this morning by T-Bob Hebert, a familiar name in these parts, and host of the Night Show double coverage on WWL 870 in New Orleans, and former offensive guard and center for the LSU Tigers. Welcome.
Hey, Cassie, what's going on? It's a pleasure to be here on the Black and Blue. Oh.
So your last name is obviously very familiar to Saints fans. Your dad, Bobby, was a starting quarterback for the Saints in the 80s and early 90s before finishing his career with Gasp the Falcons. We'll just breeze over that part. But what was it like growing up around the Saints?
It was so that's kind of an interesting question, because for me personally, I really don't remember too much of what it was like to grow up around the Saints.
Mm-hmm.
I have two older sisters. I think they have more memories of that time. I mean, I was only 4 years old when he ended up going to Atlanta and playing for the Falcons. So really, the little football that I do remember him playing, most of those memories are in Atlanta. And this is where we arrive now at the dirty confession. But, you know, I'm very open with this. But, I grew up a really big Falcons fan. I never liked the Saints. I was never really raised to like the Saints. And, I mean, my dad, if you really get down to it, I don't want to say he had a bad breakup, but, you know, didn't really like how the Saints treated him back in the day. So, yeah, I was raised like the Falcons, maybe not like the Saints, but I think time heals all wounds. And as my dad lived in Atlanta for longer and longer times, he's a Louisiana boy. He just wanted to get home. He always did love New Orleans. And then this radio opportunity was just the perfect chance for him to get back in the fold and reaffirm his New Orleans love, because he really is Louisiana. He really is a Saint at heart. But my childhood was devoid of too many positive Saints memories. Although I've been back at LSU, I dove head first and living here in New Orleans, seeing the impact and the connection that this team has with the city. It's truly legendary, and it's been a lot of fun to get to learn about that and what it means.
But you did grow up an LSU fan, is that right?
Yes, now that is true. My grandpa made sure that that was the case. Even though I was growing up in Georgia, he made sure that I was brainwashed purple and gold. I mean, he went there in the 50s. It was always a dream of mine to go over there.
So as an LSU Tiger, obviously the big game this week was the Bama-Clemson game. Do you buy into the route for the SEC team, or were you all in against Bama on the Clemson bandwagon this week?
Well, I'm always all in against Bama for obvious reasons. My last game being that 2011 national championship mm-hmm. where they kicked our ass. It's one of those things where it's like it's hard to cheer for the person who killed your dog, right? It's even harder to cheer for the person that killed your dog and then went on to be celebrated as one of the greatest players or coaches, whatever, of all time. So, no, I don't cheer for Bama. But I would say this, even if you are a SEC first person, you shouldn't necessarily be cheering for Alabama, because there is a difference between the whole conference success and one team mm-hmm. having all that success. And if one team continues to dominate to the extent that Alabama has, then you're going to see an overall weakening of the conference. And you might have even seen that this season. I mean, right now the ACC has really staked its claim as the dominant football conference.
So Clemson did show that Alabama was beatable. How do you think that goes into next season? I mean, obviously Nick Saban always turns out a competitive team. Obviously they're still going to beat Alabama, but do you think that has any lasting impact?
It's so tough to say, right? Because I mean, and I guess you could view it one of two ways. Is this like the beginning of a downfall? Is this maybe where Alabama there's a struggle? Or is this just more motivation? Is this just a kind of refocusing as if they need it? I mean, I remember a couple of years ago when they lost to Ohio State in that semifinal game, and a lot of people were pronouncing the death of Bama. And then look what they rose back to immediately. And I don't think you can forget the Tide had a true freshman quarterback. They didn't really have too many kind of superstars like you think of, like a Deshaun Watson, and yet still they were undefeated and in the national championship. So Alabama's not going they're not going anywhere. What you did see, though, was that if you want to beat Alabama, you have to have an offense capable of staying on the field against that defense. And you can wear them down eventually. I don't care how good your defense is. The kryptonite to any great defense is just plays. It's just keeping them on the field. It's eroding and sapping their energy. That's what Clemson did. And if you look at that LSU-Alabama game, LSU's defense played well enough to give the LSU offense a chance to erode and break down that Bama defense. The LSU offense just couldn't capitalize like Deshaun Watson and Clemson could.
Deshaun Watson, obviously incredible Monday night, and he declared for the draft. But looking ahead to this LSU season, how do you think the Coach O hire plays into this season?
It'll certainly be interesting to see. I think that when you look at the circumstances under which he was hired, I believe he was the best choice for the job. I think that he went and got they locked up Dave Aranda, who is arguably the best defensive coordinator in the nation, and they went and got Matt Canada, who coincidentally was the offensive coordinator of Pittsburgh, who was the only team to beat this Clemson team. Put up like 43 against that very good Clemson defense. So there's certainly hope. I guess I have questions and concerns, though, about the short-term success, about the immediate. When you look, they are losing a lot of players, especially defensively next year. Jamal Adams, Trey White, Kendall Beckwith, Duke Riley, Lewis Neal, Devon Gotcha. These are all guys that are going to go get drafted. They'll no longer be on your team. So I think we're going to get a fascinating look into the true skill of Dave Aranda. Like if he can keep this defense even close to the dominant level in which they played this season after losing all that talent, that is, well, that if you can be deserving of getting paid $2 million a year doing some of your football, then that is deserving of Dave Aranda's contract.
Certainly. So I heard also that you were at the WrestleMania announcement yesterday and that you maybe had a little moment with our friend Jarius.
Yeah, Jarius, man, that kid is a he's a firecracker. But it's not like, so at first, you know, it's one of those things where you see it and like, oh, my God, that's so cute. It's but you're like, yeah, it's a gimmick. It's cute. It's cool. It's a heartwarming story. I love it. But this dude's got real talent. Watching him work the room with these WWE superstars who are, I mean, look, whatever you think about wrestling, they're very famous people, right? They kind of have like an intimidating aura, especially for a lot of guys. Like, I used to love wrestling growing up. So seeing guys like Triple H, like Jaw is on the floor, but watching Jarius work that room, the wit he displayed, a very sharp wit in his responses, how he was playing one by one. There didn't seem to be any nervousness there. I mean, I was taken aback by the talent that that he displayed. And it really showed that this is not just some sort of gimmick. This is a kid who, if he wants to be in this business in the future, he has an incredible natural ability.
I certainly agree with you. He's been incredible. And are you excited to have WrestleMania coming back as a big wrestling guy?
Yeah, so that's going to be awesome. Like, so when it was here in 2014, I don't know, I guess I was just lazy. I just kind of moved to the city. I did not go, and I forever regretted it. So to get the chance to go now, just 2 years later, is going to be incredible. And, like, I don't keep up with the modern storylines as much. I mean, I grew up like a WCW kid and then a little bit of WWE, but I still have that appreciation for wrestling. I think almost every boy and a lot of girls as well go through at least one phase where you just love it. And it really is an athletic spectacle. It's very impressive what these guys are able to do. And it's also just really funny and entertaining. And I was kind of – one of the craziest things about the press conference is I didn't realize just how big the WWE is, like as a kind of titan of entertainment. I mean, all different countries, all over the world, they do 500 live shows a year. It's like 10 a week. I don't even know. So it's for that Titan, for a company so influential, especially economically at this time of need for Louisiana, it's huge news, and it's amazing news, and I think it's the fastest turnaround or the fastest return to a WrestleMania host site in WrestleMania history, save for the very beginning where they did back-to-back years.
T-Bob, thank you so much for your time this morning. We really appreciate it. And coming up next, we'll wrap things up for this morning's show. Thank you again.
Absolutely. You have a great day.
Ochsner believes the best way to predict the future is to invent it. Here, our doctors and staff are changing lives day after day.
Every week, I'm operating on babies who are days old with hearts smaller than walnuts. We're giving these kids a life they wouldn't otherwise have, a chance to grow up.
Sometimes, cancer patients come who were told they were out of options. But Ochsner has the most clinical trials in the state. It's amazing to be able to give second chances.
We're always a step ahead, even with simple things, like getting you in to see a doctor today versus a week from now, so what you have doesn't become something bigger. It makes a difference.
Every day, Ochsner is creating a better future by looking forward and thinking differently to find life-changing solutions. That's healthcare with peace of mind. Appointments are available today. Call 866-OCHSNER or visit ochsner.org.
We all know Saints fans are humble, hardworking, likable, and the most devoted fans in the league. All of that takes energy. The energy you get from a warm bowl of Campbell's Chunky Soup. Its meaty goodness fuels the greatness of Saints fans everywhere. Try the delicious Chunky Chicken and Sausage Gumbo. Just visit your local Winn-Dixie and ask for Campbell's Chunky Soup. The hearty way to fuel your game. And the official soup of the New Orleans Saints.
Take flight with your New Orleans Pelicans and host your birthday party, corporate event, or a holiday party in a Pelicans luxury suite. No matter who you're entertaining, let the Pelicans take the hassle out of finding a venue and planning world-class entertainment. Luxury suites are available now for the games throughout the Pelican season, giving you great seats to see the biggest stars in the NBA. For more information and to book your luxury suite night, call 525-HOOP or visit pelicans.com today.
Welcome back to the Black and Blue Report.
Thanks for a great show today for David Wesley and T-Bob Hebert. I'm Cassie Calvert, and tomorrow we'll have Daniel Salerson back, and he's going to be previewing Pelicans Nets for you tomorrow night on Fox Sports New Orleans at 6:30. Don't miss it.
Thanks for listening to this edition of the Black and Blue Report, presented by ABC Insurance Agencies. A better choice for insurance. If all goes well, we'll be back tomorrow. Tune in each weekday at noon Central or at your convenience exclusively online at Pelicans.com and NewOrleansSaints.com. Follow your teams direct from the source, the Black and Blue Report.